I would like to have a parrot. Yep.
This is, let's just dial it back a little bit.
It'll talk to us and shit.
That's not anything that we need.
I fucking you when you walk in the door.
We have one. The parrot's called Leo.
Leo heard the word fuck at the park, and he doesn't know how to use it in context. So when he gets mad, he knows that that's like a tool. So I'm like, I fucking you.
The amount of money that as a society we spend on pets will blow your friggin'
mind.
That's
true. I was telling Bree the other day, we had someone apply to rent one of our properties in Texas who is a veterinarian. And in order to like prove his prove his financial like ability to pay the rent or whatever, he sent over a copy of his tax returns from last year.
Yeah.
And he claimed $6 million.
Did easily the best claimed. Doctor to be would be a vet. Like, imagine if your patients couldn't sue you. I mean, like, imagine your patients couldn't speak English, never paid for themselves, had no insurance to speak. Like, it's just like it's like a brilliant business model that we've like created out of thin air to like domesticate and care for pets better than half the humans on the fucking
planet. I'm thinking
about
getting a bird. I would like to have a parrot.
What? Okay.
I would like to have a parrot. Yep.
Let's just dial it back a little bit.
It'll talk to us and shit.
That's not anything that we need.
I fucking you when you walk in the door.
We have one. The parrot's called Leo. We have a parrot. His name is Leo.
Leo heard the word fuck at the park, and he doesn't know how to use it in context. So when he gets mad, he knows that that's like a tool. So I'm like, I fucking you. And he doesn't know how to use it to context. It's pretty funny.
But it's funny because he's starting to try to use it in context. So he'll add like adjectives or like adverbs on the end. And be like, I fucking you long time. It's like, I fuck you forever.
Fucking you.
Yeah, fucking you. He's like, but he thinks the whole word's fucking. Like, he doesn't use it anywhere outside of that context.
Yeah, he always says it wrong.
So call it. He's like, okay, fucking. Like, he'll just say it.
He does do that.
Like,
okay,
he's saying
it.
It's like, it's your name. He's using it like, just like, with no reserve. It's the cutest thing ever, to be honest with you.
All right. So, let's segue into my visit to Baltimore last weekend.
Yeah. What was it like being back to where it all started?
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't like going back. Like, I went to school in Morgantown, West Virginia, which is where Max was born and raised and also went to school. We didn't know each other when we were in school. I'm a little bit older than him.
Yeah.
So I was a senior when he was a freshman. So like, we just missed each other. Like, I was in the sorority, Greek life world, and he was a football player, and I did not hang out with athletes. I hung out with like frat boys, and I did that thing. So we never crossed paths. I never knew who he was. I never even went to a football game. I would just go to the tailgates and get like hammered. I would never actually make it inside. You know what I mean?
You weren't the only one.
Yeah. So anyway, when I go back to Morgantown, I spent 4 years of my life there, and I have very happy memories of my undergrad. Like, I love that school. I love that campus. I love the people there. When I go back to Morgantown, that feels like a very comfortable, safe, happy, nostalgic place to me. When I see my sorority house, like, I'm happy, you know? When I see my hometown, I get like uncomfortable. And I try not to let it affect me too much, but like, it's not happy and it's not super nostalgic. I mean, there's some happy memories there, obviously, you know, and like, my sister's house is very happy and comfortable for me. I love going there specifically, but like, in general, no, it didn't feel like good. And you know, Baltimore's just rough around the edges, y'all. Like, there's just like I say it's like the weirdest shit, but it's just like dangerous shit that happens there. And just living in Newport Beach, California, now I'm just like so outside of the mindset of like a Baltimorean that when I go back and like I see the stuff happens that like happens there all the time, I'm like, holy fuck. So I fly in to surprise my sister on her 40th birthday. I take a flight out of LAX at like 6 a.m. on Saturday morning. I get there Saturday afternoon. I land. I go to the hotel I was staying at, which actually I found a really nice hotel, which I was super stoked about, and it was in a safe area, so like, jackpot. And then I went to the venue, which was a little bit outside of Baltimore, in Baltimore County, if those of you familiar, to surprise my sister. And my brother-in-law was the only one that knew in my family that I was coming, and I only told him like 4 days before, because like, I felt like people were gonna ruin the surprise, and like, Jen would pick up on it, my sister Jen would pick up on it so easily, because I just feel like we're like, you know, you feel like you're like connected a little bit with like your siblings or like a best friend or something, where she just would know. Like, you say one thing and she's like, oh, I get it. Like, you're going to surprise me. So I was trying to be really hush-hush about it. So I like came in, I put a video on social media. So it's on my Instagram and it's on my TikTok and stuff if you want to check it out. But she was really surprised and really happy, and she was crying and I was like crying, and it was like super cool. And her husband, my brother-in-law, threw this party for her, and it was a friend's party. So there was like a little bit of drama because no one knew I was coming except for Wes, who is my brother-in-law. So when word got out that I was there, my mother found out, who I have no relationship with. I've gone no contact with her. She makes me out to be the bad guy because of it. When she found out I was there, she like threw a temper tantrum basically. It was like, so this is why you didn't invite me, because she was coming. And like, my sister was like, no, like I had no idea she was coming. I didn't even plan this party. No family members were invited. It's only a friend's party. Like, how weird would it be at like a bar where everyone's drinking? It's all people that are in their 40s. And then you have like a 70-year-old woman there who's like so antisocial and awkward and weird the whole time. It's like, it would just not be the place for her. It was just not that kind of party. It was like a party, like people drinking, getting, you know, buzzed and dancing and stuff kind of party. So yeah, she kind of flipped out, and it caused like all this drama and stuff. And I was getting a lot of questions on social media, like, how did I go into contact with my mom, and like how I'm feeling with like the holidays coming up and stuff. So I was thinking we could like chat about it a little bit. And then I also got a lot of questions about my in-laws, and like, well, do your in-laws know? And, you know, as I sit them down, I'm like, okay, guys, like, let me tell you like all the stuff that's going on with my family and like where I stand and stuff. But they know, like my mother and I have had a strained relationship like for decades. So it's not really like, for me, it's anything new. It's not like I was trying to be this perfect daughter and like sucking up to her and validating her and like being whatever, you know. And then all of a sudden one day I'm like, enough, no more, bye. It's like, no, I haven't gotten along with her, and I haven't liked being around her basically my entire life. Like, the second I could get away, I got away. And then I had like boundaries and distance, and I didn't show up to family stuff that much. And it's just been a little slowly over time. So even in the beginning, like when I still had a relationship with her, like I would tell my mother-in-law and stuff like stories about like how, like I remember this one time, this is like the craziest thing that happened. It wasn't crazy because it's so like her, but I had just had Kenzie, and she only met him one time when he was like 6 weeks old. And then when he was like 10 months old, we were all taking a family trip to the beach on the East Coast. My sister's family was going to be there. And then my sister was like, I think mom is going to come down and stay for like part of the week at the beach house with us and like visit. And I was like, okay, like cool, whatever. And then like right before we left, I remember I called her and I was like, hey, so, you know, we're really excited to come to the beach or whatever. I was kind of wondering like a couple days, like for just for like 30 minutes, like while Kenzie is like taking his nap, would you mind just like keeping an eye on him so I could go for like a run around the beach town that we were staying in? And maybe Max could like come with me and we could work out together. And she goes, Nancy, this is my vacation. I don't want to watch kids on my vacation. And it was like she'd only seen her grandson, and it was my first child, like one time before his whole life. And he was like, that was 8 months before that. And I was so dumbfounded that she told me she wouldn't watch my kid for 30 minutes so I could go for a run, even while he was just napping, like listen for him if he starts crying. I remember telling my mother-in-law that. And that same trip, we went to Baltimore before we drove down to the beach, and his parents drove 4 hours just to meet us at the hotel so they could hang out with Kenzie.
In the same hotel room.
Like literally drove all the way from Morgantown to Baltimore just to be able to see Kenzie for like one day. And then they drove all the way back before we went down to the beach because they just like wanted to spend time with them. And then they get there and they're like, you guys like want to go work out? Like, do you want to go get coffee? Like, go on date night? And I just remember thinking in my head, like, this is so polar opposite from like what I experienced from my own mother. It was like really eye-opening to me. So I remember I told my mother-in-law that story, that trip, and she just was like, sort of like dumbfounded too. Like, I can't, it's just like, what, you know? And so like my in-laws would like beg us, I mean, not beg us, but like really encourage us, like go out, like do your own thing. Like we want to watch the kids and spend time with them and stuff. And then like my mother's just like completely opposite. So, I mean, it's been coming for a long time, so it's not really awkward or weird, and nothing then not much has changed other than the fact that I told her, we have no relationship. Don't contact me. Don't contact my kids. Don't send us gifts. Don't try to talk to my kids through like Skype or Facebook if they're, you know, with their cousins or whatever. So for me, it's not that big of a deal. And the holidays, we don't spend with that family anyway for the last 10 years. So that won't be like weird for us either. But I know a lot of you guys are writing us like, you know, are writing me saying like, I went in contact with my mom and, or my dad or my mother-in-law or whatever. And holidays are coming up. And like, how are you like navigating that? And then for us, we just do other stuff. Like this, I think this holiday for Thanksgiving, we might go to, we usually stay here. But this year we might go to Morgantown and visit his family and then just come back. And then Christmas, we're always here. And that's really the only holiday. And Easter, we're always here, you know. So we kind of just like chill with our little squad for holidays typically. So we don't do big holidays with families anymore.